Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
You know, if Hamas would simply move these rockets out of the civilian areas, if they move their command posts out of these homes and offices, then there wouldn't be any problem.
Let me ask you, Mr. Prime Minister.
But the fact is, they're sending thousands of rockets on our cities with a specific purpose of murdering our civilians from these places.
Let me ask you, Mr.
What would you do?
Let me ask
if it happened to Washington or to New York, you know damn well what you'd do.
Let me ask you,
you do it at the very least what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't think Bibi's going to let you ask a broader question there. Let me ask you a question, though, and Netanyahu's like, I'm going to let you finish, but yours is the most biased and stupidest newscast of all time. Welcome to the show. We're just so, first off, let me just greet everybody, because it's Monday. I feel like this is my fifth Monday so far, and it's not even noon. So welcome to the program. It's good to be with you. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go subscribe, chapter and verse, all good stuff. And we are having massive technical difficulties today if you are watching the simulcast. And this is, it's just some infrastructure stuff that we have to assess, and we're on it. We know it. We're about to have five strokes and jump off our roof. So we get it. Don't tell me. We know. So just that's where we are, just so you have the lay of the land. So today, later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Mike Pompeo. He's going to join us to discuss a lot. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of developments just over the weekend, for instance, as it relates to Israel and Hamas. And then there were rockets coming in from Syria. So we've got all of that, too. The big story, though, and there's three big things that I'm watching. The first is the situation with the Associated Press that was in the building, and that the same building that housed Hamas. And then, of course, I have the other situation. I'm having difficulty pulling things up on my end, too, just so you guys know. So I may be just running things off my phone, which I don't have currently because I left somewhere. But you have the situation with Hamas that was in the same building as the Associated Press. And then you also have the situation with one of the commanders over at Space Force, who was fired from his job because he criticized critical race theory. We've got that, too. And we're going to be getting into some social justice warrior stuff. So all of these huge things that are happening all at the same time, we're going to talk about each of these. But first and foremost, I'm sure that you guys saw the news at this point, though. Over the weekend, one of the big stories that was coming out was the situation with Hamas and the Associated Press being roomies in one of the buildings in Gaza, right? It's kind of sus. Yeah, it's a little sus. I'm gonna pull it up on my stuff here. So, it's super sus. So the situation is that rockets were fired over, and this was after a barrage of other rockets that were fired from Gaza, and then the Iron Dome responded. Israel had responded as well, to try and take out some of these munitions, take out some of the movement from Hamas, protect their citizens. You know, like stuff that countries are supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Like if they take out, like, I don't know, a gas pipeline or something that you. Oh wait, what? Sus. Shenanigans. So the IDF calls up the landlord, and I'm going to abridge some of this, and some of it I'm going to take creative license with. So the IDF calls up the landlord of this building and they're like, hey, you got some sus stuff going on in your building. We're going to be taking some, we're going to be taking TCB. So you might want to evac. Yep. I feel like this is the bestie, the Gen Z hospital thing. He calls up and says, hey, IDF to this landlord, Hamas is doing some shady stuff. We're a little sus. So you might want to skedaddle ASAP. Yeah, we're about to throw hands. So the, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at this point. Everything's so insane. Gang, gang. It's about to go down. Are we going to get attacked? And then Michael Shea is going to have to defend us, quoting his skit that he wrote, because he wrote that skit, apparently. So they had like a little, they had an hour to evacuate. Everybody left. Everybody got out. Everybody evacuated, right? Everybody evacuated. And so this, they rained down all hell on this building. This, and there was video of it falling over. It didn't last. And then the Associated Press was so mad. They were so mad. There is this, the president of the Associated Press had issued a statement, and they were blaming, they were angrier at, shockingly enough, they were angrier at Israel than they were at Hamas. They released the statement and saying that, you know, you got to be careful, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can't be raining down. Well, how, why is that question not actually posed to Hamas? I mean, if Israel is at fault for going after Hamas infrastructure, then wouldn't Hamas be at fault for using report? I mean, they were using Associated Press reporters as human shields, and the human shields were going, that mean, oh, Israel. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. And so that's how the weekend went. So the a lot of people in the Associated Press went on the attack, and I don't have the statement because I can't pull it up. I mean, we're just like, I'm literally doing a 3-hour radio show off my cell phone today. So anyone who sits here and wants to act like a podcast is the same thing as a 3-hour broadcast running off their cell phone, which I've done before, have seats. So the head of the Associated Press released a statement. They didn't say anything in the statement at all whatsoever. Nothing. Not at all whatsoever. They did not say anything in the statement about the presence of Hamas. They didn't say anything about the presence of Hamas. They didn't say anything at all about Hamas being, because they were in the same building. They were roomies, and Hamas was using this building to store munitions, and they were storing rockets. I mean, all kinds of artillery, munitions. They had their nerve centers there. Seems kind of like, because it wasn't as big of a building. I mean, it, you know, compared to, you know, average sized buildings here in the United States, it wasn't anywhere near as big. So it just seems like if somebody's storing rockets in your building that you'd know. And if you don't know, how in the hell are you an investigative reporter? Just simple question, right? How are you an investigative reporter? If you don't even know what's happening and you don't know that your room, oh, Al Jazeera was there too. And I do feel like we should clarify that one of these groups is considered and is officially designated by the United States government as a terrorist organization. So just, you know, an FYI, it's not the Associated Press or Al Jazeera. It is Hamas. So, and I was looking for, I had a couple of other, I actually had this saved and I wanted to pull this statement up. It wasn't really, I mean, it wasn't really anything huge. It's not, you know, going to be a make or break thing here if I don't have it. But I thought it was absolutely fascinating that they did not at all mention Hamas. They didn't even talk about it until way later. Not until way later. So here's the thing. Israel doesn't have the luxury of choice. Hamas does. And this was something that Vox in their piece, did you see the headline of this Vox piece? It says, yes, Gaza militants hide rockets in schools. But I'm not even going to finish it. But Israel doesn't have to. That's what they said. What? Uh-huh. Yes, they said Gaza militants. Yes, they do. They hide rockets in schools. But Israel doesn't have to bomb them. What? No one ever criticizes Hamas for using people as human shields. No one's criticizing Hamas for using these office buildings as a place to shield themselves, to hide their weapons of war, so to speak. You want to use that phrase? I know the left loves it. Nobody criticizes them. But people are but people get mad at Israel if Israel, heaven forbid, if they just happen to, you know, try to defend themselves a little bit, and they evacuated. They kindly evacuate. Israel takes great pains to not hurt civilian life, whereas Hamas makes it their mission. That's how they have their power. That's kind of how terror works, right? That's how it works. So over the weekend, the president was working the phones to kind of control some of this, and he had issued a statement saying that he stood with Israel and that he backed Israel. I thought it was really, to me, I felt he had calls with Netanyahu. He also called the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, and was reaffirming his belief of his support and belief in Israel's right to defend itself, etc. So, I mean, at least I'm glad that he made those phone calls. But I do feel as though that what he's doing in his phone calls and the messaging that he's presenting to Israel and really to the world is kind of at odds with stuff like what Jen Psaki says. And she had a tweet over the weekend where she was saying, well, if, you know, it'd be nice if Israel, I mean, it was something to the effect of, you know, Israel should avoid bombing. Israel should avoid bombing, like, what did she say? Like citizen nerve centers or something. Gary Pruitt, by the way, is the Associated Press. I do have his statement now. The AP president, CEO Gary Pruitt, he's shocked and horrified that the Israeli military would target and destroy the building housing AP's bureau and other news organizations in Gaza. We're all shocked and horrified that any reporter would have offices in a building with Hamas. Were they working right next to rockets? I'm curious. Jen Psaki had tweeted, We've communicated directly to the Israelis that ensuring the safety and security of journalists and independent media is a paramount responsibility. So maybe they could ask media outlets to perhaps do the same by not sharing office space with a designated terrorist group. How does that, I mean, it makes sense, their messaging and their defense then, them running defense. So this was the big stuff that was happening, the big developments as it relates to this over the week. And then, and of course, the media reaction to this has been kind of, I mean, there was a, who was this reporter? I've never even heard of this reporter, Raja, over at CNN. I don't even know who this person is. They got upset. They were upset over, I don't even know. They were tweeting about, it was a pretty anti-Semitic tweet. They said, glad not a, because they had tweeted talking about the white supremacy and trying to make that kind of analogy towards Israel and their self-defense. I'll pull this up. Again, please remember, I'm doing a three-hour show off my phone today. So I'll pull this up here in a bit, and we'll get to some of the other media reaction to it. And there were rockets coming from Syria as well. Also, social justice warriorism, Space Force commander was fired because he criticized critical race theory. So this, goodness, just never, and this, they just started this. They just started this. Daily Caller has this story. He was relieved from duty over comments that criticized Marxism and CRT in the U.S. military. This is Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, and he is with, he's commander of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado. He was relieved from duty over a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. And they said that the decision was based on his public comments that he made on a podcast where he was asked about critical race theory, and that it initiated a command-directed investigation, whether these comments constituted prohibited partisan political, blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous. We're going to talk about this and more here on the way, so you don't want to miss any of it. It's a packed show, and like I said, please bear with us as we deal with some of these, like, massive, massive, massive radio. We have some serious technical difficulties, and so it's making the show a little bit difficult today. Doing a three-hour show off my phone, mostly. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So Biden has approved a $735 million arms deal with Israel. And the details of this, it just came this morning. I'm sure that makes Hamas angry. I hope it includes missiles for the Iron Dome. I don't know. Because there's been actually over 3,000 rockets that apparently went out from Hamas just over last week. And they had another barrage that was going yesterday as well. So the new arms deal, I don't know all of the details with it, but it was approved this morning. It is an arms deal worth $735 million. So Israel is acquiring from the United States a number of missiles and other special munition capabilities. So, I mean, that's a good move, and I don't think that Biden would have been in a position. I don't think that he would have not done it, not approved it. He's never been. I will say this of Biden: he's never been anti-Israeli defense like some of his other Democrats are. Clearly, both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines remain active against India variants. This has been one of the big questions in the wake of this development with regards to that India variant, which is so you couldn't say the Wuhan coronavirus, but you can say the Indian variant, apparently, FYI. So that's been, I think, only 3% of their population has been vaccinated. 10% have received one of a two-dose series. And one of the things that they've learned from this study that they've done as quickly as they could, this came out from New York University, is that some of the new variants described in India evade, to some degree, the antibodies of patients who've recovered from the infection, convalescent plasma. But they say both the antibodies and those derived from fully vaccinated people still appear to function, at least in laboratory settings. And they said that there's some wiggle room, but they still are effective against the coronavirus and that particular strain from India. Walmart tells fully vaccinated workers starting Tuesday that they can be mask-free if they are vaccinated. Customers can lose masks on Friday. Costco has done the same thing. And there were a couple of other places that have also. And can you believe it? Saturday Night Live mocked Dr. Fauci as the patron saint of Purell. They really?
The Biden border lies continue and the left gets very ugly towards Israel. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I share what I saw this week along the U.S.-Mexico border. California Congressman Mike Garcia joins me to explain how the border crisis is spreading further into the country. And I expose how hatred for Israel is now commonplace in the Democratic Party. These are hugely important issues, and our government is getting them wrong. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
It is clear, and anybody who's been to Gaza knows that it is almost impossible to differentiate between terrorists and their infrastructure and civilians, which are used by the terrorists as their human shields in every aspect, whether it is that Hamas built tunnels and their command infrastructure underneath the neighborhoods, or they use courtyards and houses for rocket launchers, or they use civilian, so-called civilian buildings for their offices.
So that, obviously, that's the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces spokesperson. It's really difficult. And he's being you have to be very clinical when you're speaking of situations like this. He says it's very difficult to, when you're looking at terrorists and their infrastructure. They're purposefully shielding themselves with civilians so that if you retaliate or anyone retaliates, then the response is, oh my gosh, look at you. You're such a barbarian. Look at you doing this to these people. That's what it is. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason why they do it. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And if you, again, we're having some, it's going to be fine, but we're having some major technical difficulties and we're all about to have a big old bonfire with all of the technical equipment here. Office space style, we're going to drag it out to a field and beat it with a bat. And then we're going to set it on fire, over which we will roast marshmallows. Very healthy, gluten-free. Actually, I want all the gluten and GMOs in them. I want them to be made nothing but gluten and GMO at this point. So, this is where we're... So, if you hear me like... that's because I'm doing a three-hour show off my phone. I have done this before. You remember that? And that was... I'm just like, well...
Prefer not to, but yeah.
And Kane's like, I prefer not to. And so, we I was going to start... I had all... intent to start the day all positive. Like we ordered all this protein and fruit bowls and everything. And I realized that now how much fruit you guys are eating. And I'm really sorry, but if you've had any regularity issues, this will solve everything.
No complaints here.
Okay. So, but it's like, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is only has 200 calories and this has 400 calories. And it's great. It's not going to.
I ignored that part.
And it's with whey proteins. It's super healthy. I was very like.
In. All I know is that it's delicious.
I have a bowl. I'm gonna have a bowl. I'm gonna eat. I have to be careful how I say that. Or certain factions of people in Colorado hiding in the mountains are gonna go, yeah, like it's a fruit bowl with like some protein and so I don't even know what chia seed is. I think it's alien. It's an alien It's like jelly dots. I don't know what the hell is that. What the hell is chia? Is it like the stuff that you would get from the pet?
Yeah, the chia pet.
That's the same thing. Is that what I'm eating?
Yeah.
I'm eating that. I'm eating the chia pet head stuff.
That is true.
Really?
Without the head, but yeah.
I always wondered what that is. It looks weird, and I don't know.
It's good fiber.
Is it? But it looks like gelatin. I'm sorry, but you'll forgive me. I'm going to go off onto these tangents a lot today. Anyway, the whole point is I was just wondering that. And why did somebody think, let's add that goo to... When it's with other stuff and I don't notice it, it's fine. But when it's something that's entirely made of the goo and then maybe like one fruit, I get very confused. Like, why do people eat this? It's weird, isn't it? Do you eat like chia seed pudding? It's like unfun tapioca. What is that? I don't understand it. Okay, so back to the whole point of why we're here today. So Space Force, Space Force, right? You're the military. And... the military is supposed to be focusing on military stuff, right? Let's just be very simplistic in the way that we discuss this. If you're with Space Force, you're dealing with how to make the United States a very capable and a very capable and strong entity, and you are making sure you're solidifying our positions. And you know, we have said, I know we're not going to the moon yet, but you got to start from somewhere. It's smart to have that, particularly when you know you have satellite compromises, all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. You guys know what I'm talking about. So I would just think that if you're going to create something, you know, when you're creating the military, you're going to focus on the military's number one job, which is, ladies and gentlemen, and you can get mad for my Portuguese, but I am not PBS and I am not Big Bear in the Big Blue House. I'm not here to entertain anybody's kids. The job of the military is to kick ass. That's the job of the military. It's like, what is that one movie with Roddy Piper and he shows up and he's like, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass and I'm all out of bubblegum. That's the military, but they never say anything about bubblegum. They're not there to be best friends. They're not there to be nice and kittens and sunshine and rainbows and sparkle and, you know, confetti. It's not that. They are there to handle some stuff, right? That's their job. What is your job? Well, I'm in the military. What does the military do? We handle some stuff. That's the job, right? That's it. Just to be very simple about it. It is not a social experiment. It is about going there, getting the job done. Everybody. I mean, there's obviously the structural hierarchy for the purpose of unity and to become a great fighting force. Again, and this is like the fifth time I think I've gone back to this in the past 2 weeks. I just want to go back to that one letter that George Washington wrote to John Hancock. And I'm taking liberty with this because he didn't speak like Gen Z Hospital, Michael Shea script. But I am fascinated by that. And we're bringing that back. You know, he's writing Hancock and he's like, dude, these colonists are so stubborn and incorrigible. It's ridiculous. It's so ridic. And Hancock's like, why, George? Why is it so ridic? And he's like, man, it's because they are so sus of everything, right? They just don't want to be one unified force. They are so individualistic and they don't want to take orders and they don't want to listen to anybody and they just want to go off and fight everything. And Hancock's like, yeah, that's a great spirit to have, though, in a fighter. And George is like, true, yo, it is. But the point being is that the military was created so that every single part forms together as one whole. One butt-kicking whole. That's what it is. So that's how it works. So now people are doing all kinds of stuff. Like, even targeting the military is a social experiment. I'm going to make this as clear as possible without passing shade on anyone or anything. Nobody cares what you do. Nobody cares what you do in your private life. Nobody cares if you listen to disco. No one cares if you're a foodie. No one cares if you enjoy eating chia goo pudding on the weekends. Nobody cares if you like blue hair. Nobody cares who you date or who you go to bed with. Nobody cares because it's the military. The only thing that matters is, can you TCB? That's it. Can you? Yes or no? There aren't no, well, I can, but also I really need to express myself. No one cares. Just go and be a fighting force. No one's like, no one cares. There isn't an asterisk that says, well, yes, I can. But I also really think it's very important that you understand who I identify as. Nobody cares who you identify as. Can you TCB? That's it. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to care about pronouns on the battlefield. Nobody's going to care about anything else. Can you TCB? When you are not TCBing, then you can do all whatever you like. But it's partly to save your life and the life of others as to why we don't entertain all this stuff as a social experiment in the military. You know, the same people that sit here and complain about loss of life, I'll be damned, they are sure quick to implement stuff that contribute to it, aren't they? You get out there and you get distracted about everything else instead of, and I mean, are we actually training? Are we, because I know in the Pacific, we have been losing war games. So what about everywhere else? Instead, we're sitting here focusing on all these other issues that seem to be taking away focus from being a fighting force. And the optics are heinous. Anyway, to my point, Space Force. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, he is the commander of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base, Colorado. He was relieved from duty over a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. And what, pray tell, caused this loss of confidence in his ability to lead? They said that it was based on public comments that he made in a recent podcast. And they were trying to determine whether or not those comments constituted prohibited partisan activity. They said that his temporary assignment in the wake of his removal was not made immediately clear. But he sat down next week with some podcast to promote a book. It's a self-published book that's titled, and he's a former instructor and fighter pilot. He transferred into Space Force. It's called Irresistible Revolution, Marxism's Goal and Conquest. Goal of conquest and unmaking of the American military. And he's an active duty Space Force Lieutenant Colonel. He sees the impact of a neo-Marxist agenda at ground level with our armed forces. Now, here's the thing. He didn't criticize anybody in the book. He didn't criticize. I understand that when you're active duty, you have to refrain from getting involved in certain things. I get that. And I think some of that comes into play here. Let's be real. Some of that comes into play here. However, shouldn't you, whether you're active duty or retired, talk about have the freedom to discuss how badly communism sucks? Yes. That's where I get hung up. Now, he took great care to not criticize, from what I understand, what I've been reading from reports, to not criticize anybody in leadership or anything, you know, of that respect. No, he didn't publicly identify anybody or criticize anybody singularly. He focused on the policies that service members must adhere to. Now, my friend Tim Kennedy, who's active duty, was on my program And he was talking about communism and the wokeness that they're experimenting with in the military as it relates to CRT. Is it because he's special forces? I don't know. But he talked about it. He didn't criticize. He didn't do anything that this guy didn't. And this guy didn't do anything that Kennedy didn't do. I mean, he criticized those policies. This is where I have a problem. Now, if he had gone and talked about, well, you know, and this is how it, and got very personal instead of just doing like a 30,000 foot critique, essentially, of communism and its negative impact on military practice, I mean, you'd have to be consistent. I mean, when you're active duty, there's certain things that you can't do, be it conservative or Marxist Democrat. There's just certain things that you can't do. There's certain, you just have to, and that's just the way it is. And I agree with that. And that's old school. That's not new school. That's old school. But it's always been old school that you could talk about how much you dislike commies, because that's literally an American pastime. I mean, in fact, I think that's like one of the first phrases that children learn when they talk. Right. I mean, that's one of the things that unites people, whether they're in this country or elsewhere. Dislike of communism is like one of the main things of common ground that free people everywhere enjoy. And so that's, doesn't seem like this guy did anything differently. And I really look, because I'm like, well, I don't want to sit here and say that the guy's innocent and then he said something stupid and, you know. And so, I mean, I looked and looked and looked, and I haven't read his book, as I don't have it. I don't think it's, I think it's like a pre-order thing or something. But, and apparently he even consulted, I don't know if he consulted his chain of command, but DOD policies that you run it, when you're coming out with a book, you have to run it past it. Like Jack Carr, my friend who's doing the series that Chris Pratt's in for Amazon Prime, his first book that he came out with, and he's retired now from Special Forces, he was a Navy SEAL. He had to run his first book past DOD, and they had to go through everything, and it took a really long time. And in fact, he kind of had to, like, you know, ask some folks about, you know, why is it taking such a long time, so that they could get that book out. And so that they all have to do that. My friend Marcus Luttrell, when he wrote Lone Survivor, when he came out with that, that had to go through DOD. That all has to be reviewed. So the idea that this guy said something that was so bad and nobody caught it until now is just not possible. And because he had said, you know, we just don't have a voice anymore. And this guy, you know, he went to Air Command and Staff College, and he's talked about, you know, military's role and geosynchronous Earth orbit and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's a nice guy, but he also sounds like a total nerd. But he was discussing, you know, the Marxism's impact. And remember what it was that I was telling you about, where it concerns the incorrigibility of the colonists, and Washington was, you know, wanted to make sure everybody could act as a fighting force. When you're introducing Marxist theory into the military and you are rebuilding how the military functions as a fighting unit, that is a threat to the success and safety of that unit, because you are focusing on a non-military strategy and you are incorporating failed theory that has failed everywhere else that it's been tried. And you are diverting attention and resources from focusing on making it a TCB-1 fighting force to this. And that's what he's talking about. So this is, I mean, we don't need to wussify the military. We really don't. And I am very, very concerned, because there have been all these stories about some of these new policies. And I've had friends, dear friends of mine, who've retired, who could have pursued and were going to and planning on pursuing long careers in the military, that retired because they saw this coming. And some of them are very well-known names. And they said, we can't, because we see this stuff coming down the road, and we're not doing it. Just saying. It's serious. Now, coming up, we'll play Fake or Real, because I can't believe that some of the stuff, I can't believe some of these headlines. And you have to determine whether or not they're real or fake. We'll also get into more media reaction on this ridiculousness. Like, for instance, CNN, at least CNN fired this reporter, Adil Raja. He posted a tweet saying, he literally tweeted on Sunday, and I'm verbatim quoting him, quote, "The world today needs a Hitler," end quote.
What?
A CNN reporter. And he got fired, and he has been raging at people online. How does the guy not get bumped off Twitter?
Exactly.
I got suspended from Twitter because I shared a New York Post article in a piece that I wrote where I wasn't even talking about Hunter Biden. I was talking about the tech aspect of corporate suppression in terms of speech on public, publicly accessed social media platforms. And they suspended me because the post that I wrote on Substack literally linked to the New York Post piece. And I was suspended for that. This person can sit here and say the world today needs a Hitler and nothing. Like, Twitter takes thousands of followers away from me every single week. And they throttle my account to no end. I had to follow my husband again yesterday. Isn't that crazy? God. But this guy can say the world today needs a Hitler and Twitter lets him stay. Oh my gosh, this is upside down. We got a lot to discuss, and bear with us as we have, I know we got technical difficulties, and we appreciate your patience on all this stuff. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. So, coming up next hour, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, former Director of the CIA, joins us to discuss everything that's been happening. We've been talking about all of that, not just with Israel as well, but Abraham Accords. You know, Pompeo was a huge part of that. And we're also going to discuss the Iran policy and how is Biden's just a kind of a retread of that. We'll talk to him coming up. Plus, fake or real, because cancel culture is so ridiculous. We've got that and more. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show coming up. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
When the international community attacks Israel, they're actually encouraging Hamas to continue these attacks, because Hamas says it's great. We're both killing Israeli civilians and unfortunately some of ours, and they're happy with their own civilian casualties because it gets that the international community to focus their attacks on Israel instead of Hamas. That's wrong. Sure. It's both wrong and unproductive, because actually what it does is prolong the conflict and escalate and increase the number of casualties that that happen as a result of the continuation of the conflict.
Yeah, that's an absolutely accurate. That's Benjamin Netanyahu, who is discussing, you know, look, they casualties to them isn't really a thing. It's not something that they're concerned about. But that's, I think, attributed only to the body count that they've caused amongst their own people. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. I'm going to try to get a newsletter out today, and I appreciate your patience with us. We have been dealing. I had a newsletter that I was going to send out to you yesterday, actually, that was about this whole thing. And I was able, thankfully, just to get a little note out to subscribers on my phone. I wrote it on my phone because for whatever reason, I kept losing connection and Substack was not sending it. So we've been having a massive technical meltdown here. So that's why if you watch the simulcast, it's not watchable right now. And, you know, that's why we had some glitches Friday. That's when everything kind of started. So we've been dealing with it all day and we have technicians that are apparently up. You know, it's a piece of equipment. It's an infrastructure issue. So just so you know, we are on it and I appreciate your patience. And I'm going to get that out to you because it's not a Wi-Fi issue. We're connected by fiber. Like we are hardlined. I mean, we're blazing. And so it's a infrastructure thing. So we're going to hopefully get that. Hopefully it'll get addressed real quick and we don't have these problems anymore. So I hope to have a newsletter out for everybody, even if you're a free subscriber. And then I have another additional one that I had started and hopefully I can get on that and finish it and get that out to you as well. But if you get the one that I was just mentioning, because it was set up to auto send and it wasn't sending because we didn't have connection, I wasn't able to do it. It didn't actually schedule it. in case there's like any kind of a fluke and you get that, and just so you know, that's what it is. All right. We've been discussing this issue. And we're going to talk about this with former Secretary of State and former Director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, here coming up. But this, over the weekend, one of the big criticisms that were being directed towards Israel and even the United States for being supportive of Israel, because Biden reaffirmed his support to Netanyahu in a phone call, and a number of Democrats decided that they were upset with Biden over this, and so they've been criticizing him. And I have to say, I'm glad that he did it. I mean, I'll give credit absolutely where it's due, and I'm glad that there is enough of an old school type, you know, a recognition of alliance within him that he does not cave to the AOCs and the Rashida Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars and, you know, the Chris Murphys of the world and all this stuff. So I'm glad that he is still reaffirming an alliance there. And I hope that he kind of holds his ground on that, because as I said earlier, you know, when Jen Psaki was tweeting over the weekend, And I know that they're having right now a press conference. She was just, they're talking about masks. So that's why I'm not sharing anything from the presser right now, because apparently there was a really ridiculous question on CDC guidance with regards to masks. But they haven't discussed the situation with Israel. And I'm sure that one member of the press is going to ask her about his reaffirmation to Israel's right to defend itself. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that somebody in the media, they'll be looking to push a division between the president and his own party on this issue as a way to undermine strength for the support of the alliance. So just keep an eye on that. But the strike that took place over the weekend, where Israel targeted IDF targeted a building that Hamas was in, this is one of the things that I think that people need to understand. And I saw this with Vox's headline too. They said, yes, Gaza militants hide rockets in schools, but Israel doesn't have to bomb them. And I saw this headline and it was written by Max Fisher, and I just, my jaw dropped, because you're not saying anything about Hamas using schools as human shields. You're not saying, and that's the reason why they were in this particular building where you had the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. And the AP blasted Israel, but they didn't say anything to Hamas, who was storing rockets and munitions in the building. They said nothing to Hamas, nothing about Hamas. They still haven't made any condemnation at all whatsoever of their continual activity in doing that. And so this is kind of, I think, I've noticed a bigger gap in the recognition of one of this sovereign entity's right to defend itself, and then the sort of Vox take. Have you noticed that too, Kane? I've noticed, because previously it was, well, Israel has a right to defend itself. Now it's like racist if you support Israel defending itself. I mean, with thousands of rockets over a week's span, thousands and 3,000 rockets. Massive loss of life.
You've said it on the show before. Why would only one country need an Iron Dome? If You know what I'm saying? Clearly, the attacks are coming from one side.
Mm.
And to ignore the idea that Israel is defending itself, just to have a reductive right. argument to say that they're the aggressors is clearly, you know, not productive. And it's the lie is spreading around the world a lot faster than the truth.
No, I agree. So I, you know, I look at this ongoing situation. If they, I mean, there's always a ceasefire that is whenever, because now some people are calling for a ceasefire, and that usually happens whenever Israel strikes back. Israel restrains itself. If Israel wanted to go full on level Hamas, they could just turn Gaza into a pile of ash, which would be awful. That would even be required if it got that bad. Israel doesn't do that because they are not targeting people. And they also realize the massive international criticism that would come their way from people who don't think that they have a right to defend themselves, from people who are sending thousands of rockets over. As I said last week, all of this comes down to an attempt to try to undermine the Abraham Accords. And we're going to talk about this more in depth with Mike Pompeo, a former Secretary of State under President Trump and former director of the CIA. I have so many questions about that. I want to know, like, what did you see? Also, are you aware of the aliens? I mean, I have serious issues to ask him, but can I be honest? And I'm just, I mean, and you guys are right there with me. When you have people on who've been in, who've run like the storied intelligence agencies of the country, I mean, you know, you want to ask them the professional things, but let's be real. I'm not going to lie to you about where my mind goes originally. So Area 51, are you guys going to show us some aliens? I mean, that's just like the first question, first thing that pops in my head. Think about if you're director of the CIA, I'm like, what do you know? I'm fascinated by this. Not like he could tell me anything.
I'd ask if Jerry Nadler was an alien. That'd be my first question.
No, I think he's not. Yeah. I don't think he is. But I do think Hank Johnson may be. If anybody would be, it's Hank Johnson. I mean, let's be real. Hank Johnson, and because I've never seen, and I'll get back on point in a minute. Hank Johnson, Congressman Hank Johnson. He talks so slow, and his delivery is, you can't predict it because it doesn't have like a regular pattern. Whenever we play audio on the show, we never know when to end it. I never know when to jump in because even I know it might be 10 seconds, but I'm like, he talks so slow. Maybe it's longer. And whenever I watch him on C-SPAN, it's the craziest damn thing I've ever seen. And he just doesn't get up. He's like a human sloth. He just doesn't get upset. He says crazy things without any emotion whatsoever. None. Yeah. I don't get it. It's so weird.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm going to ask him about, I'll ask him about that.
Is there a Men in Black type thing? I'm curious.
There has to be.
Like, is there a place like where Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones went? And, you know, there's all that stuff. I mean, I want to ask him about serious stuff, but.
Is there a mind eraser light?
Like, okay, sidebar. If you got one pass from the government and they said, okay, we will tell you the truth about one issue, one thing, what would you want to know? Because I know what mine would be. What would yours be?
I think mine would be who killed Kennedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Interesting. What would yours be, Steve, if the government was like, hey, one thing, you get a pet, you can get to know whatever you want to know about it, you get one pass. What is it?
Oh, man, I was going with Kane. I would go Kennedy, too.
Really? Really? That over aliens?
Have we discovered time travel would be my second question.
See, that actually, I was thinking, this is the stuff I think about at night. And I made Chris really mad, my husband, really angry, not angry, he was just frustrated because he was right there on the cliff of falling into a deep sleep. And I was like, if you got to know anything that you wanted from the government, would it be about time travel or aliens? And he looks at me, he's like, woman, why do you do this? We're going to bed, why do you ask me this stuff? Every night I do this, and it's not on purpose, just that how my mind winds down. And I'm like, if you could know anything from the government, would it be about aliens or time travel? What would it be about? And he looks at me, he's like, and because then he's interested, and then he's like, oh well, crap, I don't know, I gotta think about it.
Then third on my list would be if Bigfoot exists or not.
You don't get thirds, you get one. I'm you get saying, one pass if, they if don't I even want to know about your other ones in this hypothetical
I would
situation.
All three in as fast as I could.
I feel like I may ask this. I'm just gonna say, because when Trump was president, I felt like it was hinted at. He's like, well, I mean, I could tell you, but I can't.
Right.
He said stuff like that. Can I also point out something, too, with regards to Trump and how different things are with foreign policy right now? What did I tell you? Because I would hear from some of my moderate Republican friends, and they were like, I don't know, he tweets so crazy on Twitter. And I'm like, redundant. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know about you, but I kind of want other world leaders to think that our leaders are crazy. Yeah. Because I want them to think, if they do this on Twitter, what the hell will they do in real life and not mess around? You know what I mean? Like, this was a guy who would tweet in caps lock, like, I will bomb the hell out of you. I mean, he says stuff like this. He said stuff like this on Twitter. And you would have Hamas. They weren't doing all of this stuff just a couple years ago. And I think the reason being is because there was a guy who was in the White House who moved the embassy to Jerusalem and whose son-in-law and grandchildren are Jewish. And I'm just saying that I feel like people think because he will tweet this stuff, what the heck would this guy do? If he's going to tweet this, what would he do? I wanted people to think that we had the craziest person so they would walk softly, you know? And now look, it's an amusing observation. He would tweet things about world leaders like, oh yeah, Rocket Man down there, talking about the short stack down there in North Korea. So there's something to that. I mean, I kind of appreciate that, right? He's like, well, you can be nice to us or you cannot be nice to us. And I think that that's one of the things that people liked about him, in that he was unpredictable and he would just, like, nobody clearly had his access to Twitter. He was not going to give that up. And he would tweet this stuff. And everyone always said he's going to get us into wars. Well, he didn't, though. We'll say that. He didn't. So just going to put that up there. All right. So coming up, like I said, we got headlines and we got Mike Pompeo. We'll talk with him. And real or fake, cancel culture. I have a crazy story. You have to determine whether or not it's real or fake. And bald eagles are back. Yeah. Were they gone? I didn't notice either, but apparently they're eating people's dogs. Let's maybe not do that, eagles, because I really like eagles and I really like dogs. Don't make me choose. Don't make me choose. It's like making me choose between a Challenger and a Hellcat right now. Don't do it. Just don't make me do that.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, as we said, we have Mike Pompeo, who's going to be coming up as well here after this segment. Germany vows no tolerance after Israel flag burning outside synagogues. This is something that they've been seeing in Berlin, where the German government on Thursday avowed unwavering protection of its synagogues after scattered demonstrations over the escalating military conflict between Israel and Gaza-based terror groups, Hamas, saw protesters shout anti-Israeli slogans and burn Israeli flags. By the way, did you all see, and I'm not playing it on these airwaves, but this was in London, where there were several SUVs that were driving through London towns and they were playing anti-Semitic slurs where they had loudspeakers on top of the SUV. Oh my gosh, that was in London. I didn't believe that. I kept thinking surely that's made up. But no, it was actually verified by British press. So this is something, these tensions are being felt in a number of other countries here. And that was this latest headline, it's just from Germany. Anti-Israeli protesters swarmed a police car in California. This is from Twitchy. And Andy Ngo had some of the video on this. There was an Antifa / anti-Israeli direct action march. And there was a California Highway Patrol vehicle on the road, because they send those vehicles actually to try to protect the protesters so that nothing happened, you know, just to try to maintain the peace and let people as much as, you know, as peacefully as possible demonstrate. And people turned and attacked the car. They turned and attacked the car. And then so the car was trying to navigate very slowly around. And that was, again, a lot of words that we would not be able to play on air because FCC regulation. So just, you know, how you have it. And then AOC is angry at Biden. She says you can't stand up to an ally. That's what she's accusing him of. We'll ask Mike Pompeo about that. He joins us next.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. You guys know I had to throw it back to, what is it, the early aughts for that?
Yeah.
And it's done tongue-in-cheek, affectionately so, because we're like, well, what kind of music do you play to introduce the former Secretary of State and director of the CIA? And then we were sort of joking, and I will ask him this later, because I know that he probably can't tell me unless he kills me. But I'm saying this jokingly. But it's like, you know, former director of the CIA, you know about those aliens, you know about Area 51, you know about all of this. But we have some serious issues to discuss, though. Some very heavy things that are going on in the world, and there's nobody better to give a breakdown of this and also talk a little, give a little bit of perspective about this administration and what we can expect from this administration, or perhaps not expect, as we all watch what's happening between Israel and Hamas, and then its effect, of course, on what I think was President Trump's, you know, the crown jewel of his administration, which was the Abraham Accords. Joining us right now via phone, former U.S. Secretary of State and Director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo. Sir, it's a pleasure to have you this Monday. Thanks for your time today.
Dana, it's great to be with you. That music was perfect.
So there you go. I'm like, what do we have to, this is the only acceptable thing that we can play for the former Secretary of State and Director of the CIA. I'm like, it's got to be Men in Black. We got to do this. And, so, and of course, you know, we'll ask you some of the, probably the hardest questions ever later. But I, right off the bat though, I got to get your reaction to the Biden administration's sort of response to the escalation between Israel and Hamas, and the president was reaffirming his support for Israel's right to defend themselves. And I know he was talking to the Palestinian leader as well. It seemed to be kind of at odds with Jen Psaki, who over the weekend was tweeting about that Israeli strike, the IDF strike on that building in which Hamas was working. Apparently they were roomies with the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, saying that, well, maybe Israel could be a little bit more careful about where it strikes. I just think that maybe the press should be more careful about who they bunk with in these office buildings. What is your take on all of this?
Yeah, well, Dan, as for that particular incident, look, we've known for a long time that Hamas and the Palestine and Islamic Jihad, the two terror groups in the Gaza Strip, have used human shields. So they parked themselves inside civilian facilities, and it seems unlikely that journalists wouldn't know that they were co-located with terrorists. I just strains my imagination to think they wouldn't have known that. Would certainly make, if what the Israelis said is right, would make this a legitimate military target. But backing up from that just a little bit, I'm happy that the administration is mouthing the right words, that President Biden said the right words about Israel's right to defend itself. That should go without saying. It did during the 4 years of President Trump and me. They always knew that America would support the rightful Jewish homeland. I think the Iranians don't get it. I think the Iranians think that this administration is weak. So you see, these terrorist groups are underwritten, supported militarily and financially by the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so you now have Iranian proxy forces conducting terror attacks on Israelis. And, of course, there are Americans in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem as well, but the attacks are on Israel. All the while, we are writing checks. Mm-hmm. You, American taxpayers, writing checks to the Palestinians, and we are sitting with the Iranians in Vienna trying to negotiate a deal. To think that you're negotiating with a nation that is underwriting terrorists that are currently firing missiles into Israel is a massive head scratcher, Dana.
Yeah, and that was something we discussed last week, how the new administration turned that spigot back on of taxpayer dollars going towards Palestinian leadership, which was something that President Trump under his administration, he wasn't having that. We're talking with former Secretary of State, Director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, on this issue. And sir, you brought up a really good point as it relates to Iran, because, I mean, ultimately, that's really what this is Iran. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Iran is trying to regain some kind of foothold and influence in this part of the world, because they were really undercut by the Abraham Accords. And I know that the press has been trying to spin that, well, this is somehow a symptom of the Abraham Accords failure. But actually, I think it's completely opposite that, because Abraham Accords, they went around Iran and they went around Palestinian leadership and cut them out to show that you can have peace. These entities don't want peace. Everyone else does.
For 40 years, and this was Republican and Democrat alike, Dana, the theory of the case was until the Palestinians say, yes, you can't have peace and stability in the Middle East, we said nonsense. We began to build out a series of relationships with the Saudis, the Emiratis, the Bahrainis, the Moroccans, the Sudanese, said, you can't have as your core foreign policy the fact you want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And our efforts to acknowledge we would defend Israel by moving our embassy to Jerusalem, by allowing the Israelis to acknowledge the Israelis' right to hold the Golan Heights, and then our punishing sanctions on the regime in Iran allowed the Abraham Accords to move forward. I'm convinced they will survive because it makes life better for people in the UAE. It makes life better for the people in Bahrain and certainly in Israel. I think these understandings of of building out relationships militarily, diplomatically, intelligence relationships between the Arab states and Israel will only strengthen, because the risk to those countries is greater as Iran continues to try and get back, as you said, get back its foothold in the Middle East.
Yeah. Noticing the difference between the way that the Biden administration handles this and the Trump administration. And we were kind of joking about it a little earlier by saying, you know, well, Trump would get on Twitter and just relay to the world that he wasn't having it, sometimes using caps lock. And some people would say, oh, goodness, that's too far. I remember when the administration was criticized for using harsh language towards North Korea. But the funny thing about that is we didn't see this during, at least at this level, during the Trump administration, because I would imagine that they assumed if this guy's going to tweet this stuff, imagine what he'd do if we did get out of line. Your thoughts on this?
Dana, deterrence works. It works whether you're Mike Pompeo, had his concealed carry permit in Kansas, or you're a nation state making clear to adversaries that it is going to truly cost you if you decide to come after me or my family or something that matters to my country. We were pretty crystal clear. We were unambiguous about the fact that we had certain red lines. We didn't draw them everywhere, Dana. We were pretty restrained about this. But there were a number of things that matter to the American people, and when it mattered to the American people, we were going to take it on. So, you know, another example, when Qasem Soleimani, an Iranian senior general, was traveling from Beirut to Damascus to Baghdad, he was threatening Americans. Mm-hmm. We said that's crazy, and we took him out. And no Americans were harmed by Qasem Soleimani. These are the kinds of things that in the international space, nations understand. They understand power and transparency and clarity with respect to a nation's interest and its morality. We were clear about it. When you're ambiguous, when they think they can push you around, Dana, they're likely to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a good reason for being very clear and very descriptive about what kind of red line you'd like to form. For those tuning in, we're talking to former Secretary of State and Director of CIA Mike Pompeo. I wanted to ask you, sir, as well, about some of the discussion as to who's kind of calling the shots in the Biden administration. I don't like to do, you know, armchair psychiatry on people, but Rick Grenell, who has a lot of respect with conservatives, and he was former acting director, for those who don't know, of National Intelligence under Trump. He was giving an interview last week where he said that he believed Susan Rice was assuming the role of the shadow president. And it's really not so much Biden calling the shots. There wasn't really, when you talk about being very, you know, very articulate and very clear as to, you know, who's doing what and who's saying what, there really wasn't any doubt in the Trump administration as to who was doing what and who was calling what and who was advising the president. I mean, everyone had a very clear, transparent role. And so there wasn't a lot of questions about that. What do you make of Rick Grenell's characterization of this? And what do you think he's accurate, or where do you stand on that?
You know, Dana, your point about the Trump administration, those of us who were senior leaders who made it through the 4 years understood the president was the commander-in-chief. He was the duly elected leader. We worked to give him our best advice. Sometimes he accepted it. Sometimes he didn't think we had it quite right. He was the person who was constitutionally empowered to make those decisions. Today, that is President Biden, who is sitting in the Oval Office. And it is always troubling when there's conjecture about whether or not that's what's actually being delivered. I have every confidence that, while I don't know the ins and outs of how the dynamic is playing out, I have every confidence that there is a very complicated power structure inside that West Wing. Right? You have a former Secretary of State now sitting at the State Department, Secretary Kerry. That's confusing. You have Susan Rice, who was the head of National Security Council, sitting, you know, dozens of feet from the Oval Office. I'm sure that each of them has their own levels of influence. What the world needs to understand is that it's the President of the United States who makes these difficult decisions, these important decisions that protect us. I hope this administration will be able to project that in a way that ensures that the world understands how our most senior leaders are thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with former Secretary of State and Director of CIA Mike Pompeo. You've been very, very vocal, and rightfully so, and we're grateful for this, about the not just the origins of the pandemic, but also the role that the Communist Party in China has played in trying to obstruct really the truth of how all of this, how this was ever even able to happen. And you were very, very vocal about China's exclusion of Taiwan from with the World Health Organization, where countries were meeting to discuss ways to control and contain this. Talk with us a little bit about this, because this cover-up continues. It's aided by the World Health Organization. And now we're sending our tax dollars right back to the World Health Organization after the Trump administration shut that off.
Well, Dan, let me start by why it matters to folks that are listening to the show. These laboratories in China that are doing bioexperimentation are still operating, and they continue to operate in a way that's not safe. They don't meet the global standard for how you contain viruses and how you protect societies from leaks in those laboratories. Early on, the evidence to me amounted to a pretty clear case that this Wuhan virus emanated from this Wuhan Institute of Virology. I can't lay it out. I can't prove it to you because the Chinese Communist Party has denied us the ability to do that. But every bit of mounting evidence indicates that it likely was a laboratory leak from that place. If I'm wrong, I'd be happy to have the CCP lay out the data set that proves that I'm wrong. This matters because we could have this kind of thing happen again. And if you rely on something like the World Health Organization, this is no longer a science-based body. It demonstrated its inability to prevent exactly the one job it had, which was to prevent an epidemic from spreading around the world, and it became political. It began to kowtow to the Chinese Communist Party. Our administration knew that. We were working to find other mechanisms by which to do pandemic defense. You can't allow the Chinese Communist Party to be responsible for global health, because in the end, the Chinese Communist Party will do precisely what they did, and they will cover up, just like the Russians did during Chernobyl. They will cover up their bad behavior, their mistakes, their errors in ways that have real life risk to people here in the United States of America.
Yeah. And to point out to everyone listening, it's not just people like former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo asking this. I mean, I was reading this letter that was published in the Journal of Science, signed by 18 prominent biologists, microbiologists, all of these doctors and researchers from places like Harvard and Cambridge, which are not really known as, I would say, like a MAGA concentration universities. There's not a lot of conservatives there. They have no reason to state any of this, but they're just as interested as everyone else is in the truth. That seems to be kind of overlooked whenever you bring this up, I noticed.
Yeah, it does. But the truth ultimately has to come out. There'll be somebody inside of the Chinese apparatus who has the data, who has the information, who decides they're going to do a noble thing for the world. I'm counting on it.
Yeah. All right. Before we let you go, we're talking with Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State and CIA Director. You know, I got to ask you this, because I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat, but I'm just going to come out with it. We've seen all these stories, you know, stuff leaking in about aliens and all of that. And I know Trump kind of facetiously responded to one question about that. If you had to tease everybody with something, like what would you tell us? I mean, just on behalf of the internet, show us some aliens. What's the truth of the matter, sir?
I got nothing for you. I must say, when I became CIA director, when I became the CIA director, I was keenly interested in this as well. Stay tuned. I can't help you much.
Just give us like a hand signal or something next time, like just a sign, like wink twice or something like that, and we'll know from there.
I'll do that.
Mike Pompeo.
Thanks, Dana.
There you go. Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye. Former Secretary of State, CIA Director. Always a pleasure. God bless.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, all right here. So, where to start? There was a... This is Tampa Bay. There was a man, Florida man, who decided that he was going to try to carjack somebody with a samurai sword. A resident awoke to find a burglar in his home with his samurai sword in one hand and his truck keys in the other. This is in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it was linked to an armed burglary, carjacking. This guy left his cell phone behind at the scene, I guess because he had his hands full of truck keys and samurai sword. So he left his cell phone behind. Police said that at 7:45 on April 20th, a man who lives in the home went to his living room because he works from home. 7:45 in the morning, he noticed his laptop was gone. And then he looked up and saw a dude right in the kitchen. And he had The burglar had stolen the guy's replica samurai sword. He had it in one hand and the guy's truck keys in the other. The burglar then ordered him to pick up a clothes hamper filled with stolen items, told him to bring it out to the truck. The victim did his order and the burglar left. The guy called the police, and then they found out that they had a cell phone. He left his cell phone behind. They obtained a search warrant and found several photos and videos of the guy on the phone. I'm going to say, just sidebar to this, if you're a burglar and you leave a cell phone in my home, then you ain't a guy no getting a search warrant for that. Okay, that's a consequence of being a stupid criminal. They figured out that the phone belonged to Damian Grady, 24, of St. Petersburg, and they found the sword. It had his fingerprints all over it, and he is charged with, oh, so many crimes. Burglary, carjacking, resisting arrest, all kinds of drug charges, and his bail is set at $150,000. He's still in the popo. He's still in jail. He's in the pokey. That's where he is. Let's see here. I got a couple of others. A Florida man was arrested after climbing onto a signal pole in South Beach, Florida. In Miami Beach, a Florida man climbed on top of a traffic light pole, according to the Miami Herald. Todd Fitzroy Booth, that's the fanciest name I've ever heard, of Miramar, 29. He inched along the structure while dangling his legs astride the pole. It was a very, very busy South Beach Entertainment District. He was charged with misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct, and he resisted an officer without violence. People were tweeting it with hashtag Because Miami. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Are you aware of any fully vaccinated individual who has died of COVID-19?
We do keep a track of this on our website. We are asking hospitals and healthcare facilities to send us cases of what we're calling breakthrough infections. They occur. They are rare. We are aware of 223 as of May 10th that are among the 115 million people that had been vaccinated by that time.
So, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. That's the CDC Director Walensky saying that, well, the instances of fully vaccinated people getting the coronavirus and there's, you know, fatality, you know, they do occur, but they're rare. So what makes them occur and what makes them rare? Like what? I just like to ask questions. It's my favorite thing to do. What makes them rare? Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Appreciate y'all joining us today. Appreciate your patience, too, as we wrestle with. We had a massive technical meltdown, just to let you guys know. So I've had people ask me. I've received a trillion messages. What's up with the simulcast? Because we have the nationally syndicated radio program, and then we have the simulcast of that nationally syndicated radio program on the 1st. And so what's on the 1st isn't matching with what is on the airwaves right now because of those difficulties. But we're working to get those corrected. And nobody has been more stressed out than maybe Chris and me and Rachel and Kane and Juan and Steve and Mike and Rich and all of our hundreds of affiliates across the country and just, you know, everybody else. Just nobody's been more we're all going to jump off my roof here in just like a few minutes. So we appreciate y'all's patience. And yes, it did affect the newsletter because I had one that was going to go out last night, and I'm going to have to modify it because now there's some things that are not timely, and I don't want to send you out something that's not timely because we had tech difficulties. So as we this whole thing with the coronavirus and the reporting. Do you remember when POTUS was slamming Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying, what did he say? It was Neanderthal thinking. That it was to remove the mask mandate and to allow for, was that when he was moving to 50% reopening or 50% capacity in stores, or was that just like, oh, everything's open? I can't remember when the Neanderthal comment, because it was the masks were made optional, and then it was like you could open to 50% capacity, and then now everything's just like full on. Although some businesses have the, you know, obviously they have the freedom. If they want to limit capacity, they can still space everybody out. They can totally do that. And I respect that. It's private property. They can run they're the people who get there first and turn out the lights last. So they can determine how to run their business however they want to. But I know there are some businesses around my area that still do that, but the president said that it was Neanderthal thinking, and everyone made it out like everybody was going to die and, oh, it's going to be so horrible. And oh my gosh, I just remember some of the comments that we were getting here on the show, because we were like, well, that's good. Let people figure out, you know, people aren't like children. They, they want to not get sick and they don't want other people to get sick, they're going to be responsible. I think sometimes even individuals are making will make more responsible decisions than what the government mandates are going to be, you know, especially when you look at the health aspect of it as it relates to kids. And so we haven't had anything. I even downloaded this app, if I can pull it up. So far, our connections and everything are good, and I'm terrified to talk about it like I just did because it'll rock the boat. So I downloaded this app. What is it called? Citizen? Yeah. I think it's called Citizen. But I love apps, right? Okay, this is going to be really contradictory to what... I don't like it when the government does it, but I like apps that let me know what everybody else is doing. What is happening everywhere else? Like, I'll read all the discussions, like, on certain, you know, like, security camera forums and all of that. And then I, so Citizen, you can report crimes, and then it takes also the, police data, and it inputs it on a map, and you can see what crimes are happening or if there's, like, a natural disaster. And it also has, like, the special thing for coronavirus. And you can see, you know, the cases reported, et cetera, et cetera. And so far, it's been really good. We haven't had any fatalities for weeks. And this, you could, super low, hospitalization rates, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not just Texas. It's also a number of other states that have done this as well, Florida being one of them. Florida also, sidebar to this, that's the only state that also is incorporating, when they are doing the testing and sharing the results, what they call the CT score. And that's the cycle threshold. So the cycle threshold is the number that determines the transmissibility and the level of infection with people who test positive. And so what were they saying that it was, and we went over this like in depth, I know we sent a newsletter out about
35
it.
35 or lower cycles is an accurate, you know, reading.
Right.
Anything more than 35 cycles will push a false positive.
Right. And they, what were they saying? That anything that's over 35 is not even clinically contagious.
True.
So when people were getting these scores, they were counted as contagious and they were counted as like super sick, all this stuff, even if it was over 35. And this was something that a number of studies and all these researchers and everybody else were saying, you need to kind of include the CT score so we can have an accurate count and determination as to, you know, where are really the hot spots? Because if you're not including that CT score in, you're not really telling us everything that we should know about the virus. And we talked about that. And so Florida, this was like in February, I think it was. They were the first state to include the CT score in when you would get a positive test because of the false positive. Because there were sometimes people would test, like 40 and it would look positive, but they weren't actually contagious because the CT score was so high. That's how many cycles it had to go to even apparently detect the presence of the virus in the bloodstream. So I don't know exactly how it works, but I know what I've read from the studies of doctors and the epidemiologists that have published these studies, and this was their conclusion, that was their determination. And so I do wish that we would incorporate that for case in point. This is what I'm talking about. So the vice president tweeted last night, quote, "Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do." I retweeted it and I just said, or what? I mean, I love questions. And somebody responded to me, or you unnecessarily risk death. So then I had all these people like, well, it's because you'll die and you'll kill everybody. Okay, so that's not even how the virus is working. And furthermore, then your argument, if that is your argument, then when you look at the fatality rates and you look at the demographics, like for instance, obese people were the most severely impacted, then you could say that obesity, you could just switch out the variables and plug in any kind of identifier and that still makes your formula true. That's ridiculous. Stop. It wasn't a death sentence. It never was a death sentence. And a contraction should not be treated as an assumed fatality. And yet that's how it was. That's how it's been treated in the press. And I think it was almost done purposefully so that people could be freaked out and they would be more primed to run with some of these crazier restrictions. But the This situation, though, with the president and vice president tweeting this type of stuff, there is no legal authority for them to do this. There's none at all whatsoever. There was, I want to play for you, who was it? The Q&A with Jen Psaki. Yamiche Alcindor, who is with PBS, she was asking questions of Jen Psaki about the CDC guidance. So remember, the CDC guidance had stated that you don't have to wear a mask anymore once you're vaccinated. And so Yamiche Alcindor, the question that she had asked Jen Psaki was whether or not it was like kind of a racist policy. She said, because it puts people of color at risk. Listen to this soundbite. This is just from a little earlier at the presser. I think we have it.
Also, the switch to COVID, the largest national nurses union is saying that the CDC guidelines on masks is putting frontline workers and especially people of color at risk, and that they're calling for the CDC to reverse that. What's the White House's stance on that union in particular, saying that their members and people of color are at risk?
Well, I would say we don't have any particular response directly to the union. I will say that, again, the objective of the CDC so that more.
She wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, no, she wasn't.
While she was asking that question. I'll just put that out. So this kind of goes into what Fauci has now said. Let me pull this up. This is LA Times. He is the immunologist who, of course, at NIH was leading the response. The headline for this for LA Times is, quote, Fauci says pandemic exposed undeniable effects of racism. And this, he was, because they were, I guess they were discussing systemic racism. He was speaking during a graduation ceremony for Emory University. And this was one of, this was like in the remarks in his speech. He said that the undeniable effects of racism, in his remarks, he said the undeniable effects of racism have led to unacceptable health disparities that hurt African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans. And this is what he was stating at Emory University at their I guess this is, yeah, their graduation ceremony. And he said that African Americans were the most impacted. And he said the comorbidities have racial determinants. And he said, this was his direct quote, almost all relate to the social determinants of health dating back to disadvantageous conditions that some people of color find themselves in from birth regarding the availability of an adequate diet, access to health care, and the undeniable effects of racism in our society. I need your face as a GIF right now. Just so he's that. Seems more of a sociological, not, and so that, wait, is the virus itself racist? Kane, yes.
I just think that there are, like, for certain races, there are certain medical conditions that are worse for other races. That doesn't mean the virus is racist. That doesn't mean the medical association's racist. That doesn't mean people talking about it is racist. That's just a scientific fact.
I mean, that's not, I mean, what is it? There's I think what anemia, there's certain things that that some demos are more susceptible to than others.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I mean, I used to think that was like a scientific basis, but I guess now it's just, I don't know.
It's weird. The party of science always abandons it whenever they want to make some sort of racial claim or sexual claim or whatever the label claim.
Mm. Well, so coming up, one of the things we're going to play is this real or fake? It's a cancel culture story. And I'm very curious as to who guesses what. So we have that. But yeah, that was I'll send this link out too in prep. So far, everything is kind of stabilized. I don't know. We have people that are doing stuff. So I'm just hoping it stays so. Don't think about it too much or it'll throw us. That's what'll happen. If we all think about it at the same time, then it'll all fall apart.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I'm just the messenger here. So apparently bald eagles are back and they want to eat your pets. This is actually a headline from the Wall Street Journal. They said that America's majestic emblem conjures feelings of awe. And they also attack small dogs and scavenge a landfill. So just, and it's not just eagles, by the way. Hi. It's all, you know, predatory birds like this. Don't be sitting here, like, trying to shame the bald eagle for your weak little teacup animal out in the yard and you're not watching it, you know. I'm not going to do that. I love dogs, but I'm not blaming the bald eagle for this nonsense. Mm-mm. Nope. Done. Not doing it. Speaking of done, let me pull this up because I really wanted to get this headline too. France is done with it entirely. And by done with it, they've banned the use of woke gender neutral language in schools. They said it's a danger for our country. And I think that's actually consistent with France. Now, some people are saying that's in... They were always a little bit more libertine than not. And I, when reading history, when the founders would have to go over in their various positions of diplomacy to the French court, Benjamin Franklin was the only one who could deal with it because they were apparently very, very free, wink, wink. And everyone else was just, they were just appalled. They couldn't deal. But the fashions were nice. So, but now modern, you know, in modern times, that France is done with this and the United States is in the throes of it speaks a lot to our new neo-Puritanism that has sort of taken over the country. Just saying, Pujols has a deal with the Dodgers, according to one source with MLB. They said the future Hall of Famer won't have to drive very far. The Dodgers, apparently they've agreed on a one-year major league deal. I don't want to have to root for the Dodgers. I'm a Cardinals fan. Just FYI, you can have the Cardinals Pujols after, I know he hasn't been with us, the God's team, for a long time, but you can have him. We already had him. It's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be bitter, but whatever. We have a lot more in store. Stick with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know that we can't play this on YouTube because they'll get us. Technically, it's fair use because I'm talking about it. Wait. You did not just turn that chorus down. This is Andrew WK's new song, I'm in Heaven, which is face-meltingly awesome. It'll melt your face right the heck off. Your ears will be fine. But I'm stoked about it. It doesn't come out, I don't think, until... Like, you can get a couple tracks now with the and pre-order the album, but there's... Yeah, it's not all out yet, but it's a great track. Video's good, too. And he got engaged to Kat Dennings, which is not a pairing that I thought would happen, but it's cool nonetheless, so congrats to him. I met him one time when I worked at the Blaze. He came in because he was doing something there, and we were in the makeup room at the same time, sitting in makeup chairs side by side, and it was probably one of the most surreal things. Yes, his requisite white shirt and white pants, but he wears like white shirt and pants like I wear black shirt and black pants. So super nice guy. There's not, I mean, you know, like as nice as you could imagine. Super nice dude. Welcome back to the show, everybody. So I promised that I'm going to allow you to guess as to whether or not a story that I am going to share with you is real or fake, because we live in this era of cancel culture and overreaction over so many things that it is just not, it's just, I mean, it's over the top ridiculousness. So let's play Is It Real or Fake with cancel culture. Let's do so now.
Time for Real or Fake Cancel Culture. The game where you decide if the cancel culture is real or fake.
I really appreciate the horn section. I just want a random horn section. Just randomly, just chilling, you know? And then, like, we could, you know, gear it up, like, old ska band style. Just, you know, just for when we're doing stuff. So, is this real or is this fake? You get to decide. Here is the story or
it's
not
never
story.
Easy. It's never easy.
A 29-year-old law student who said that, and I'm reading this headline, it is news, and these are clinical terms, so let's not, you know, stop. A law student, I mean, it may be news, it may not be news. I could be totally just messing around with you and baiting you. You don't know.
That's enough. Go ahead.
29-year-old law student who said women have vaginas faces disciplinary action by their university. The student said that women have women parts and that there is a difference in the strength between men and women. And they stated that as though it was a fact. And this student was disciplined by their university. Real or not real?
Do we have a Jeopardy thinking music for this? Because I think that's necessary.
Even kind of spooky music.
I got to tell you, though, this is science. So what the kid is saying, this 29-year-old you're talking about, he is not wrong. He is actually scientifically correct. So I'm going to say this has to be fake. I mean, what university would shove somebody out for stating scientific fact? I just don't see it happening. I don't know.
So you say it's fake.
I say it's fake.
Rachel, are you in or are you out?
Nothing surprises me. I say it's real.
Real. Real.
Real.
Juan?
Real.
Real? You say those two real, fake. We'll tell you who Juan is here soon.
All by myself.
Steve, what about you? Real or fake?
Aren't these all real?
Man.
No, Steve. No, they're not all real. My Keebler elf story wasn't real. You thought it was, though. And?
Wait, the Keebler elves aren't real?
No, like the one where they, like, I said that that people who were, you know, they were upset because it was a vertically challenged stereotype.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Real or fake, Steve?
Real.
Okay. And okay. Kane is wrong because what? You all are correct. Yes. But it is a woman. That's what gets me. It's 29-year-old Lisa Keough. She's a female student. She studies at Abertay University in Dundee. Sounds like it's Australian.
That's not a knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife. That's also apropos here. She said that women have lady business. They have female copulatory organs. And that now she faces disciplinary action by the university. And she is in her final year. Why do they say it like this? They go, the mature student. She's 29. The mature student.
It's not a Biden kid.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like she's more mature than everybody else and not dumb. Or they're trying to say that she's at 29, older than most students. I don't know. For the love. So they say she's in her final year. She's now facing a formal investigation by the university for the alleged offensive and discriminatory comments. Sidebar, she has great eyebrows. It's not important to the story, but it is to me. So, yeah, 29 years old. And she says that, well, now not just she, but the university says that she has, now she's going to be investigated because they said it's offensive and discriminatory. And she just said, she said that women who, that she said that women who are taking like testosterone, et cetera, to, you know, for competitive advantages that, you know, it makes them, you know, stronger. And then she was talking about men going through biological puberty and bone mass and muscle, our bone density and muscle mass. And she told the Times, which is a British publication, she said, I thought it was a joke. I thought there was no way that the university would pursue me for utilizing my legal right to freedom of speech. Now, she was muted because apparently this was like online that this happened. She was muted by her lecturer. And then they say it again, the mature student was met. Like, why are you keep calling her this? I'm going to slap some people. The mature student was met with a flurry of abuse from her classmates. Now, she says, I didn't intend to be offensive, but, you know, it was like an in-class debate for the purpose of debating. And she said, these are my views. Not only are they your views, but it is also a fact. Now, she has two children and she's worried that she may not be able to become a lawyer now because she said this in a debate in class, in a university setting where debates are supposed to be free exercises and exchanges of ideas. And even this means you can't even do devil's advocate to engage in a discussion anymore. I mean, this is where you should be able at a university to discuss whatever, the most controversial, all of it. And now the fact that she's being targeted because she goes, I wasn't being mean, transphobic, or offensive. I was stating a basic and biological fact. I think that this is sexist, what's happening to her.
Yeah.
Because you're telling a woman that she cannot talk about her own sex and talk about the science as it relates to her own physiology. That's sexist if you want to have a discussion about sexism within this patriarchal construct, because that's exactly what it is. You're just in disbelief.
I just can't believe it. I'm like, anybody who paid to go to that university, I'd be wanting my money back, like right now. And then I want to know where they get their funding. It can't just be from students. It's got to be from some sort of governmental agency. They clearly are not about science. They're clearly not about truth. They're clearly not about learning. They're trying to teach a whole new generation of woke people.
Well, and at this university, there was a lecture, Dr. Ava Poen, who was, they went after her because she had, was said that only females can have menstruation cycles.
Oh my gosh.
And they went after her. But the lecturer muted her when she said that. Oh my gosh. This is, I feel so bad for college kids today. I mean, when I was in college, it was a free for all. You could, I mean, in class, you could debate whatever you wanted to debate. You could bring up whatever you wanted to bring up. And you could have like a legitimate, not for the purpose of shock, but for a legitimate discussion and exchange of ideas. Where are people going to learn how to be? This is why people can't civilly disagree with each other anymore, because they don't even allow the exercise of it on college campuses or anywhere else, which should be the places that are most protected for this sort of thought experimentation, for the contrast of ideas, learning how to live and coexist with people of different beliefs. And just because somebody says something that, you know, you may disagree with, doesn't immediately, it should not trigger a cancel culture. Like, I mean, this is insane.
She's not saying anything different than any other scientific journals that are out there, any other medical journals that are out there.
Oh, don't tempt these people to start going back and editing those books. What is wrong with you?
They won't go that far. Will they go that far?
Are you serious?
They would go that far to ignore science.
Mm-hmm.
The party of science will go that far.
My young son said that in their class, that in one of their history books, it referred to Hitler as practicing capitalism. And my son took such exception to that in class that I got an email about it from the teacher. But the teacher was the teacher thought it was ridiculous, but that's the book that they had. And so the teacher does not even use the book anymore. They have it because that's what it is, but they don't even use it. And my oldest son, who's in college and he's actually studying poli sci, he wants to go into law. He was muted by a lecturer. He was muted by one of their professors in their discussions, and it was over Israeli politics, because it was geopolitical. It was a geopolitical examination, and it had to do with Israeli politics. And he was muted because he was taking exception actually to something that was said about Hamas, and he just like went, and they he was muted. But he's like, I still kept talking. Not even. So
I'm just curious what the university teaches in that regard, in biology. Like, what would the university teach in biology? That women are, what, like broccoli stalks? Like, what are we talking about here?
Why are people, because they use that slur called TERF, that's what they call J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling's a straight up, like, super far left socialist. She is as far left, you know, socially, economically, even though she benefited from capitalism. I mean, that's who made her capitalism. She, you know, as you could be. And she came out and just simply said that, you know, there's, you know, woman is a word and it exists. And that is an actual, you know, we should recognize this gender. And they've been trying to cancel it. They called her a TERF, which is trans exclusionary reactionary feminist. And it's a slur. It's a sexist slur. And that's, I don't understand why it's considered transphobia to just be like, nuh-uh, women exist. And biologically, only women have menstrual cycles. That's not phobia of anything. That is, that, why are people biologically phobic?
And who's offended by that simple statement? Who's offended by that?
People act like they get paid in being offended. Have you noticed this?
I think some people.
I haven't been offended by anything today. I need to find something to get offended by. What am I going to be offended by? I can't.
Exactly.
There was this. I wanted to touch really quickly. There was this study from Pew, and I was looking at it, and I thought, this is kind of weird. It's on. They said national identity is becoming more inclusive in the United States and Western Europe. Large ideological divides persist on views of tradition, national pride, and. I think that this is actually kind of a goofy survey. But why? It sort of seems like the intimation that national identity should be less important was the goal of what they were wanting to achieve with this. Because assimilation went from being a priority because everybody wanted, you know, assimilating into being American. And that now it's considered a racist concept. And I always tell people, you know, you can't move to France and become French, and you can't move to Greece and become Greek, and you can't move to Germany and be German, and you can't move to France and be French, but you can move to the United States and become American. And that's because the national identity of America is liberty. That's what these people refuse, that Pew and all these others that run with this. The national identity is the recognition of liberty. That is the national identity. And I think that especially when you have leftist narratives that push opposite, I think they don't want that because it's such a wide common ground. They don't want that. That's dangerous to the principles of totalitarianism. But the other thing is, you remember when Game of Thrones ended? And I know we got to wrap, but do you remember when Game of Thrones was over? And I said, I think that's the last water cooler conversation. Because that seemed to be the last cultural touch point that everybody had sort of in common. Because there was the old kind of example of people gathering around the water cooler on Monday talking about, you know, either the game or you know, whatever show everybody watched. Because everybody used to have kind of this common cultural, like pop cultural society, you know, like social culture language, like with what we watched and the books that we read and all of this stuff, like what we consumed in terms of pop culture. And now that's like everything, even entertainment, everything is tribalized now, politically tribalized. There isn't that common pop culture anymore. There isn't that uniting topic that people would, you know, get together and be able, you know, the one random thing that you could throw out, like, oh, did you watch whatever? Or have you read whatever? Or did you see that? You don't have that conversation starter anymore. Literally all we have is the weather. That's it. That's sad.
I did talk to my son about what I binged the other day.
What'd you binge?
But that was it. You know, that was, I found some old episodes of House. You remember that old medical show, House?
I never watched that.
You never watched that? Mm-mm. I used to love that show. But I binged a bunch of those the other day. And that's literally, you're right. There's nothing that actually ties the whole of society together in regards to that conversation.
I've been watching Jack Stauber videos. That's what I've been binging.
Really?
Yeah, I sent you guys the link to the shop opera. Yeah, I'm a little late to that one, whatever. But it's actually quite brilliant. All right, we got to get moving. I just saw a statistic where it said that the area of New York that has the highest vaccination rate is also the reddest. It's upstate New York. Upstate New York has a higher vaccination rate per capita than Manhattan. That kind of dispels some stereotypes. Just saying. Mm.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. All right. Today's stupidity is also really super creepy.
It's really creepy.
Kane, this is weird, man.
I mean, if the virus was so bad, I would get the vaccine like without anybody having to coerce me.
I just have questions. Like, yeah. I'm not against that.
This is Joe Biden.
The flare-ups could occur, but if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up, may see this progress reversed. Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
Well, that I think we've all kind of paid prices. So can we stop casting aspersions on the character of people who just have questions and wish that they could have more transparency from their government? Stop using them as shields, too. Okay. DanaLash.com. Hopefully get the newsletter out tonight. God bless. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.